the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Well, we heard earlier in the show about the things people do to look and feel their best. But what happens when striving for perfection becomes an unhealthy pursuit? Shifra Mulqueen has been finding out.
My name is Laura Bonner. I'm the founder and CEO of The Muffliger Company. And yes, I am a self-confessed perfectionist. I read that Beyoncé and George Michael were perfectionists, so I feel like I'm in good company.
But when did it all start for Laura?
My granny was a perfectionist, so maybe I got it from her. The apple doesn't fall too far from trees normally. My granny was an amazing dressmaker. However, like, I don't know how to sew. But her thing would have been, she obviously was so good at it and would have done it quicker that she would have had us do other chores. Like, she never stopped. She had a lot of children and always baked scones, and like she always made it look like everything was easy. My goodness, like, she could have been at LA fashion show, no problem. My hem and my skirt would be down. I would have went over for her to teach me how to do it, but she would have said, no, I'll do this. And like, you go in and make yourself useful. You go in and peel some spuds. So I learned how to peel spuds, and I never learned how to fix a skirt. Maybe that's where I got my micromanagement from. Like, my papa always says, jump off that cliff and learn how to build the plane on the way down. Then I realised then that it's all in my head, that the level of high standards that I have, it's all on me. My biggest competition is myself.
So are perfectionists born or made? Professor Ian Robertson of Trinity College Dublin and author of How Confidence Works.
Yeah, some people are perfectionists and some people aren't, largely because of what they learn when they're young. Whether children learn to get satisfaction from striving or whether they're rewarded too early and too easily, in which case their motivational muscles aren't strengthened and they're too easily contented with maybe a sloppy outcome. When we achieve a goal, we get a little mini success experience in the reward network of the brain, a place called the ventral striatum, and that triggers a release of dopamine in the brain. What perfectionists do is they kind of starve themselves. They give themselves many fewer rewards, which means that perfectionists are a bit more prone to anxiety. As you become more anxious, as you feel you're not delivering the perfect goal that you wanted, your brain produces too much of the noradrenaline chemical messenger that distorts your thinking. And it becomes very hard to see the wood for the trees. Your judgment, your kind of common sense becomes degraded. That kind of awful, catastrophizing thinking, which your perfectionists often experience. It's got to be.
A child could be coming in with their hair combed, the top button on their school uniform is done.
John Sharpson is a teacher and TV presenter. He spots young perfectionists as early as primary school.
And their shoes are spotless. And they'll actually blind you if you look at them for too long because they're so white. Take out their pencil case out of their bags and they've all their colours, all sharpened, all in order, and they're just ready to rock. Their lunch is hummus and raw carrots. And equally, you have the other side of it where a child is coming in with a shirt. Might not be their shirt. They don't even know. They're carrying their jumper in their teeth. And it's streeling along the floor. They've got the bag over one shoulder and the bag is wide open. They will put up their hands in school and be like, I don't have my pencil case. I'm like, oh, did you leave it at home? No. The other child is looking on in absolute horror. It's as if they're getting stressed on their behalf. You also got those children who are perfectionists. They'll put their hand up and they'll say, Mr. Sharpson, yeah, we should have been doing PE 10 minutes ago. Now, these children are 6 and 7, but they're looking at me knowing that sometimes I'm going to drop the ball. They're great children to have in your corner, sometimes.
But can the perfectionist and the non-perfectionist work hand in hand?
They can kind of develop friendships as well. They can kind of learn from each other. So if you've got the perfectionist child and you have the other child who is not a perfectionist and is trucking along through life, sometimes the perfectionist child can see this person is really happy, and they can both kind of meet in the middle where one child will kind of relax a little bit. If they forget their homework, it's not the end of the world. Or the other child can say, wow, this person is doing really well. Maybe I need to pull up my socks a little bit.
A lot of people would spend maybe an hour, 2 hours a day, maybe scrolling online. That can add up really quickly. If it's 2 hours a day, that can be like over 30 days in your year. Say about 60 years of your life, you're doing that per day. That's 5 years of it was spent scrolling. and looking at other people's lives and what they're doing.
Tech journalist and host of the For Tech's Sake podcast, Elaine Burke, says the online world doesn't help matters.
This is called socially prescribed perfectionism, and it's kind of like absorbing it from those around you. You're looking at what Peter, Mary and Paul are doing, and their kids are well adjusted and doing well, and their job is going really well, and they just got a promotion, and they're making so much money, they're on this holiday and it looks fantastic, and you're not seeing how they were actually fighting every day on that holiday. But what a wonderful world. The business of social media and many digital platforms, it's advertising. Because advertising is all about selling you a perfect aspirational lifestyle. Meta's revenue was over $165 billion last year. This idea of us being assaulted with this stream of comparison, I think that comes back to the invention of infinite scroll. So that came about in 2006, and that's the idea that there's no longer a natural stopping point when you are scrolling through media online.
Elaine says some people deliberately seek out a so-called perfect world online.
The big thing now is the rise and grind videos, typically made by influencers to show their routine, starting with when they wake up in the morning. Often they're up 4 a.m, 3 a.m. There was a really famous one recently by an influencer called Ashton Hall, and people were comparing it to the morning routine of Patrick Bateman from American Psycho. Like, Christian Bale has a very particular morning routine in that movie. And that is the vibe I'm getting from this. People are really striving for the perfect sleep routine. Mouth tape is very popular. They look like kidnapping victims in that they have this tape over their mouths when they wake up. And the point of that is apparently it helps to influence you to breathe through your nose while you're sleeping. And cleaning videos, like watching someone take a rug that has 10 years worth of dirt on it. Oh my God, that is such satisfying content. You can start to feel like, oh God, I've been watching this content for hours and not cleaning my own house and the state of it.
Instead of scrolling, how can perfectionists perfect non-perfection?
The problem with many jobs is they're featureless. They don't have clear ends. You know, a plumber knows when she's fixed the pipe, but you know, someone working in a desk job, there's always more to do on the thing. Breathe in for 4 and out for 6. That can lower the noradrenaline levels in your brain, and that can help you get into that better judgment, that better perspective. Hold on a minute, the world's not going to fall apart if I don't work all night to achieve this impossible goal. I'm allocating X hours to this task. I will do my best for these X hours, but when these X hours are finished, that's the task finished. That's the perfection, if you like. I'm defining perfection as doing my best for 3 hours on this task. And when I've done that 3 hours, that's finished, and I'm going to reward myself with a cup of tea.
If all else fails, you can ask ChatGPT to schedule your perfect day.
We'll see what it says. Love that you're thinking about this. Shut up. Ideal time to wake up between 5:30 and 7 a.m. Start by stretching or doing light yoga for 5 to 10 minutes. Meditate or do breath works for 5 to 10 minutes. Read something enriching for 10 to 15 minutes. I need to get going with my day at this point, surely. Move. Quick workout. I've already done yoga. And a personal mantra, like, I am building my best life one intentional morning at a time. That's a lot before 9, 10 a.m. to get through. Yeah, you're grand. Thanks. I think I'll be hitting snooze. I don't want to live this life.
Really glad I did all of that this morning. Elaine Burke there, ending that report from Shifra Mulqueen. That's all we have time for today. Thanks for listening. Today's show was produced by Aideen McLaughlin and Emma Laffin. Our broadcast coordinator was Owen Lubbers, and Mark McGrath was on sound. Adrian Weckler will be in this chair next week. Until next time, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.